I think I'll start reading at verse 10, and you just bear with us. We'll read several verses. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again, so in other words, twice at least, unto my necessity. Now not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to read two verses again, and I'm going to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, and use for a title to this message. I want to preach on living between the promises. Living between the promises. Verse number 13 said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Then verse 19 said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes. Now, if you read the book of, or the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, probably though these two verses will be the first ones that will stand out in your mind. I mean, I have quoted these two verses, I probably could safely say 100 times. And I've preached on these two verses many times. And I know that everybody, well, matter of fact, how many in here has ever heard these two promises? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Those are wonderful promises. And I believe them both, don't you? Amen. I believe both of these promises are true. But just a couple of months ago, I felt like that the Lord really opened this up to me. And I'd like to share it with you tonight. Amen. You know, we look at these two promises, but we never ever see or never look too much at what's in between them. But if you look at this whole chapter, the whole chapter, or the biggest part of the chapter rather, is talking about giving and receiving. You don't have to be afraid of me tonight. You all know me and I know you. I'm not going to preach you any false doctrine. Amen. But the whole chapter just about is talking about giving. And we got preachers, including myself, standing up and preaching, God's going to supply every need you have. Well, I tell my church that. I preach to my church. They come to me and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. We're having it hard. We're struggling. I tell them, God will bless you. The Lord will take care of you. God's going to supply. And you can do anything through the Lord. He's your strength. You can make it. But when I looked at this chapter just a short while back, I really wondered, is that promise real and true to everybody? Now, a lot of God's promises are conditional. Did you know that? Everybody's not going to eat the good of the land. Everybody is not promised to eat the good of the land. But he said, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Amen. I looked up the word if. You know, if you do this, if you do that. And if I'm not mistaken, it was mentioned 1,521 or 22 times in the Bible. Over 1,500 times. And the word if you do this, God said, you do this and I'll bless you. You do that and I'll bless you. And I feel like that these promises right here, that there's something we got to do if God's going to honor His word to us. Is God or will God supply all of your need? Yes, He will if you're doing these things. I'm saying tonight, let's live between the promises. Amen. Let's get right in the middle of these promises. Amen. Let's don't just pick out a promise here and pick out a promise. It's kind of like that little promise book that somebody gave me a few years ago for, a birthday or Christmas or something. Somebody at church said, here, it said, it's got several hundred promises in it. And you could turn each page, had a different promise in it. But nothing before, nothing after, just the promise. And thank God for every promise. Amen. But what about the Holy Ghost? You know what? I wonder if that promise would have came to that 120 if they hadn't have done what the Lord told them to do. He said, you go, you'll find a man having a pitcher. He'll lead you to a large upper room. You go there and you wait, you tarry until you're endued with power from on high. They were obedient to the word of God, and the Holy Ghost, that promise, came to them on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you what, I believe there's something we need to do. Let's look at them here real quick. Amen. The Bible, first of all, says this. First of all, I want to tell you this, verse number 11. He said, I'm not speaking in respect of want. So you see, before he ever mentioned I can do anything through Christ, he said, I want you to know, firstly, that I'm not speaking in respect of want. A preacher can get up and preach on giving. He can take an offering for a missionary or anything else, and there he goes again. I had somebody say it about me and in our church, and they said it jestfully, but I think they're serious. Somebody was talking, said, what do you like, what's your favorite message? Three or four preachers. One of them said, I know what Brother Miller's is. He said, what's that? He said, don't matter where he starts out, before he's done, he'll preach on tithing. Said, either that or being faithful. I said, well, that's two good things. Amen. I hit him a lot, those two. I want him to be faithful, and I want him to do what God said to do. Amen. He said, I'm not speaking in respect of what. I'm not preaching this message in respect of what. Amen. When the preacher stands up and says that you ought to give and that you ought to tithe, they're not speaking because they want it. He said, I'm not speaking in respect of what, because I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. Let me just tell you a little story here when I was an evangelist. And I've told the preachers in my church this too. I never ever judge whether or not I go to a church by if they would give or how much they would give. I never did. They asked me to go and I went. I would go and I'd preach. If they helped me, fine. If they didn't, I just prayed and went on. I remember holding a revival one time. I drove about 100 miles one way every night. I preached 3 weeks, got $48 and had three flat tires. That's the honest truth. I remember that one. Amen. There was one pastor, I'm not going to tell the town, because somebody here would probably know, and somebody on tape would surely know. So I'll not tell where it is. But I had preached a revival about 20 years ago, and Lord, it's a shame to be able to say 20 years ago. Amen. But anyhow, about 20 years ago, I was had preached a revival for this particular pastor. And I preached for him, and then a space of time had elapsed, and I had preached about 100 straight nights. And I was literally wore out. And I had 2 weeks off. And I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to church nowhere but on Sunday morning and Sunday night to my church. I said, I'm killed. I got to rest. Well, I got up early that next morning to pray. It's Monday morning. Me and her got up and we were just praying together. And the telephone rung while I was praying. I'm getting ahead of myself. While I was praying, before the phone rung, this pastor's face come right before me. And when it did, I thought, oh my Lord, I don't want to go there. I hope this ain't God. That's the hardest church I ever preached. They don't amen you. They don't help you. And I had to borrow money to get home on. I don't want to go there. So I got up and I told my wife, I said, you know, when I was praying, Brother so-and-so's face come right before me. She said, oh, Lord, we don't want to go there. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, if it's really God, he'll call me. So we got back down, prayed about 5 minutes, and the phone rung. I got up and went to the telephone, and it was that pastor. Don't you know it was him? I hadn't talked to him in about a year, several months, maybe close to a year. And I said, hello. He said, brother, you ain't going to believe what just happened to me. I said, what? He said, I was just down praying. And he said, your face just come right before me. He said, I feel like you ought to come and start this revival. I said, when? He said, if you'll come tonight, I'll call the folks up and tell them we're going to start tonight. I said, I'll be there tonight. And I went, Brother Hughes. I never asked another word. I went, and I say this to tell you that God will bless you if you'll just be obedient. I went knowing that they wasn't going to help me. I went to that revival. I preached those 2 weeks, wore out, tired, preached that revival, and so help me. When I came home one night and had to borrow money from my dad, I said, Dad, can you help me? He said, yeah. And I preached that revival, but you know what? God gave us about 20 souls that got saved in that revival. That was worth it all. Now, I said that to say this. The very next revival that I had was in a little town in Virginia. I'll not name the town. Popular church now. There's a little bitty church at that time since they went through a building program. But I didn't know what would be there. I just went to preach that 20 or 30 people. Never said a word. Never mentioned a thing. Never opened my mouth about nothing. I just smiled and grinned and acted like I was a millionaire. Preached that revival. And from until this day, there's only been one other time that I've got as good an offering as I did there. Amen. I don't care to go ahead and tell you. I preached revival. They gave me about $2,500. They bought my wife, I don't know how many dresses. I don't know how many clothes. They bought my kids and shoes. Put 4 new tires on my car. Changed the oil. Filled it up full of gas. And tried to buy me a new suit. Just couldn't find one to fit. They tried. They went to every store there to try to find me a suit. Well, matter of fact, the brother and his wife that was trying just handed me the money and said, when you get home, you can find one to fit you here. Buy one. I tell you what, I couldn't believe it, Brother Collins. I'm not trying to boast, but it's unbelievable. Because, I mean, we're talking in the mid-70s. That's like about $5,000 or $6,000 right now. Or even more. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You say, well, you're bragging. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, I was obedient and went to that little church and borrowed money to get there and done it with a smile and asked God to forgive me and went on and preached. And the very next place, God opened up the windows of heaven. Brother, I've learned to be full and to be hungry. I've learned to be exalted and to be abased. I've learned whatsoever state I'm in to be content. I'm not preaching in respect of want. I don't preach this to my church because I want. But you see, brother, I preach and I believe when we learn that art of giving, then we can learn to receive. When we say, yes, God, I'll do this. I will give. I will sacrifice. Then I can say, Lord, supply my need. I'm in need. But when you don't do your part and you're not doing what God told you to do, and you say, God, you promised it to me. Well, you ain't living between the promises. Hey, brother, I'm telling you the truth tonight. Amen. He goes on and says, I've learned how to do it. And he said, I'm instructed. Not only have I learned, but I've been instructed to be full and to be hungry. Amen. I told my son and my son-in-law when they quit their jobs and hit the road, I said, listen, boys, go wherever the door's open. Don't ask for nothing. You get in trouble, don't tell nobody. Call home. I'll come to your rescue. That's what I told him, Brother Whitaker. Amen. I told him, I said, I'll help you. I'll take care of you. Amen. The Lord will help you. You don't have to fear. Go with God and God will help you. Amen. And then the Bible said, notwithstanding talking to this church, he said, you've done right. You actually said you have well done. You've done the right thing. What did they do the right thing in? He said, in communicating with my affliction.
That's right.
He said, you've well done. What did they do? They communicated. They kept in touch. And they gave to the Apostle Paul. Amen. He said, you Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, there wasn't any church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Brother, if nobody else is going to do it, and that's what some of them will say, nobody else going to give, I don't have, I'm not going to give it all. Well, don't worry about it. You just give. Once God bless you, watch Him bless you. I'm telling you, I have learned. You know what I tell, when I told my kids, when they first got their first little job, I said, kids, I want you to tithe. And I've told this on my daughter, and she tells me, Daddy, quit telling that on me. But, you know, she ain't here, so I'll tell it on her tonight. First job she got was in a little greeting card place. And she wasn't making but just, I don't know, $40 or something like that a week, or $50 a week. But anyhow, she got that job. First paycheck she got, I said, Melissa, you going to pay tithes on that? I sure am, Dad. I said, you know what tithe is, don't you? She said, I sure do, 50%. I said, no, honey, it's only 10%. Is that all? 10%? My goodness, she said, I got a lot more money than I thought I'd have. Man, she was perfectly willing to give half of it. And she was so thrilled, she was ecstatic to find out all she owed was 10%. Man, she had a lot more money than she thought she was going to have. And you know what? I just wish folks would look at it like that. Instead of saying, oh, goodness, I don't know if I can do that, if I can give all that. If you just look at it and say, my Lord, look what He's letting me keep. Amen. Look what I got to keep. That's all I got to give, just that much. You know, a lot of folks, brother, they grieve and they worry and they fret. And it just about kills them to think they got to give. I had a man right in my church. He told me this. He said, you know, he said, when I had that other job, it didn't bother me a bit to tithe. But he said, now that I got this job making about $21 an hour, he said, I can't hardly do it to save my life. He said, I just can't hardly write a check for $110 or $20 every week. I can't hardly do it. It just bothers me. I said, you mean when you made $300, it didn't bother you to pay $30? But now that you're making $1,200, it bothers you to pay $120. I can't figure that out. I'd be so happy to know I had $1,000 instead of $270. I just can't. Well, let me go on here. Brother Collins may never want me to come back. He said nobody communicated with him, but you did. And he said not just once, you did twice.
Two times.
Amen. I really truly believe our church, the reason God's blessed us the way He has financially, is because we started giving. I first went to our church. Now, God help me. First revival we had, evangelists came in, and this is what the board told me. They said, now, Monday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, we give to the preacher. Tuesday, the young folks get. Saturday and Sunday, the church gets. I said, no. We can't do that. Why not, brother? I said, what do you want them to do? Get rich? I said, they ain't going to get rich. What do you want to do? I said, we're going to give it to him every night he's here. And that's what we've done for the last 14 years. Every night. I said, God take care of us. Amen. He'll take care of us. That's just the way I do it. You don't have to follow. That's the way I do it. And anyhow, I remember that first, that evangelist have been there, preached about 10 nights, got $300. I told Treasure, I said, bring me a check, a blank check tomorrow night. He got mad at me. He really got mad. He said, no way. He said, I'm not going to do that. He said a lot more than that, but I ain't going to say. He was mad. You know what I did? I borrowed $100. I gave every dollar I had, and I stood up and told the church, I said, this is our last revival. We won't have another revival. Why? I said, you can't support advance. We ain't having no more revivals. And I was serious.
Yeah.
Amen. But you know what? After that, I can't remember, and maybe I'm being too forward with this, but I can't remember any evangelist that's got less than, I think we give one preacher $800. And I think that's the least anybody's ever got since then. Amen. You know what? The Lord's been blessing us, though. We didn't support one missionary when I went there. And I said, we need to start supporting missions. Why, brother? They're over there on a vacation, just running around. I'm not going to take it out of my kids' mouth and give it to them. I stood up and I said, hey, anybody get a burden for missions, come and tell me. Nobody did. I prayed another week. I said, has anybody got a burden for missions? I had 3 or 4 weeks, a sister come to me and said, brother, it's been on my heart for a year. I said, I'll help you all. I said, okay, we'll start out. We got about 2 missionaries. Give them $25 a month. At last count, we had 7. We give 7 different missionaries $100 a month. And since then, brother, God has opened up the windows of heaven and blessed us. Hey, brother, I'm just trying to tell you, it works. If you don't believe it, try it. It's been unbelievable how the Lord has blessed us since we started doing what God said. I want to live in between them promises. If I'm going to claim that promise, God supply all my needs, and I'm going to have to communicate in giving and receiving. Amen. God help me tonight. Now, let me give you one more point here. He said this in verse number 17. It is not because I desire a gift. That's the second time he said that. Actually, he said, I don't speak in respect of want. Now he said, not that I desire a gift. He said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You know what he said? He said, I'm not wanting anything for me. I'm wanting you to be blessed. And I can truthfully say, I don't know about other preachers, but I can say from the very depths of my heart, as sincere as I know how to be, that I preach this to my church because I want them to succeed. And if you want to succeed, you're going to have to do what God's Word said concerning giving and receiving. I wish somebody would say amen to me. So I know I ain't too bad of trouble here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He went on, and you know what? I had a member, a good member of family, a family member of mine, said this to me, and I can quote it pretty close. This is almost word for word. She said, I'm not going to tithe to that church. I said, why? She said, because they got more than they need. The building's paid for. There's money in the bank. And we don't need it. That church is doing good. Now, you probably never heard nothing like that before, have you? And she said, that church is doing so well, they don't need my tithe. They don't need it. They're doing fine. And said, I'm not going to take it. And this is a quote out of the mouths of my kids, to give it to a church when I need it worse than they need it. I'm not going to give it to that church. That's what she said. Okay. Now look at this, what it says. And you say, well, Brother Miller, maybe that's true. So I'm not, and I'm sure not going to give nothing to Brother Collins, because I know good and well he makes more than I make. He's in better shape than I'm in. Yeah, I've never been able to understand it. You know how folks feel like preachers don't never do nothing and feel like they got everything. I just have never figured that out. I've been a full-time preacher now for 23 years. And I'm telling you, it's not as easy as you may think it is. Amen. Amen. And anyhow, I said this. I said, well, you know, you're right. The church don't need it. You're right. I don't need it as far as having to have it. You don't have to bless me because God will have somebody that will do it. You don't have to bless Brother Collins if you don't never give him another quarter. God will have somebody do it. And you don't never have to write out a tithe check and stick it in the offering for the Highway Homeless Church. Because if you don't do it, which I know you will, and I know how y'all believe. I'm trying, this ought to encourage you because you believe this too. But you know what? If you didn't do it, God would send it in somewhere else. When I pastored my first church, we got so low and we didn't know what was going to do financially. I mean, we was operating in the red most of the time. I didn't know what was going to do. And I got down and started praying. I said, God, you know, most of our folks is poor and some of them don't believe in tithing. And I don't know what to do. And I started praying, God, help us. And got a check in the mail from somebody in Florida that didn't even know me or never saw me before. But they said, I went to that church several years ago and said, went there and said, I went down here to Florida and said, I made a real good business move and I just thought I'd send you a little offering, $12,000. Woo! Hallelujah. Sent it from Florida. I still have never seen them. I know their name, but I've still never seen them. I called them on the phone, thanked them. Amen. Now, I tell you what, brother, God will take care of you. Amen. Let me hurry here. He goes on and said, it's not that I desire. I have all. Listen, he said, I have all. Next time you look at the preacher and say, his bank account's bigger than mine. Well, Paul said, I got everything. I've got all. And then he said this. Say, you think he ain't talking about money? He's been talking about money the whole chapter.
Right.
You think he ain't talking about support? He's been talking about half the chapter. He goes on and says this. He said, I have all and I'm full. He said, I've received these sweet-smelling, acceptable sacrifice that you sent to me in your gift, and it's been well-pleasing to God. It's pleasing to God. Amen. If nobody else does this, I have found me something that I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 months, and I tell you, I've been so excited about it, so happy about it, and the Lord's blessed me everywhere I turned. It's just been unbelievable. Amen. My wife came in today and she said, I'll tell you what. She said, I'm going somewhere. Can you help me? And give me something. I said, yeah, here. I said, where'd you get that? You didn't have that over the weekend. I said, the Lord help me. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir. God will bless you if you'll do what he said. Amen. Let's live on the edge. Live right in the middle of them promises. Amen. He said, my God will supply. And he will supply. And let me tell you, before I close, just in case you think I'm being too forward with this. Some folks think this is kind of forward. Do you know what? I'm going to read you a story here about a man that was called a prophet. He was a prophet. A mighty man of God. Raised the dead. That's a pretty good man, wouldn't you say? Done miracle after miracle. Such a great man that another man said he wouldn't even leave him until he was taken out by a whirlwind. And a fiery chariot had to separate the two. I'm talking about Elijah, that great man of God. Who believes Elijah was a great man? Who believes Elijah was a man of God? Do you know what? If we'd have done the same thing today that Elijah done then, we'd get voted out. We said the same words Elijah said then. They'd call us a crook. Let me tell you what he said. God, there was a famine. I mean, there was a drought. I mean, things was really bad. And the Lord spoke to him and said, go down by that brook and I'll take care of you. Yeah. He went down there and drank from the brook. And God had a raven, I think it was, that brought him flesh, bread, a couple times a day. When that dried up, said, boy, he's going to die now. No, the Lord said, get up from here and go to Zarephath. There's a widow woman, so she'll sustain you. Yeah. He just went, followed God like God told him. When he got down there, he met this woman. She's gathering up sticks.
Right.
Going to build a fire. Eat the last little bit of food she had and die. When he saw her, he said, hey, woman, fetch me some water to drink. Well, she just left and started to go get the water. While she was walking, while she left, he said, and when you come back, he said, make me a cake and bring it to me. The gall of that fella. The nerve of that man to ask a widow woman, make me a cake right in the middle of a famine. And then she turned around and said, why, sir, I couldn't make you a cake. All I got's a little handful of meal, a little bit of oil. Said, that's why I'm gathering these sticks. I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna build a fire and I'm gonna make a little bit of bread. And me and my boy's gonna eat it, and we're just gonna die. It's gonna be our farewell dinner. It's gonna be our last meal. We're just gonna eat it and die, because that's all the food that's left. There ain't no other food left, it's all we got. You know what he said? Bring it to me first. Now, come on now, folks. That's the Bible. Let me find here so you know where it is. That's in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 10 through about 14. Actually, 13th verse is when he said, make it for me first. Now, brother, you talk about nerve. When the preacher would have the nerve to look at a widow woman and say, give me the last bite of food out of your mouth. That's what he done. I had a preacher tell me a while back, he said, the reason I don't believe in tithing is because I don't think it's right to take tithe, 10% of the money, he said, from folks that have retired and that's on fixed incomes and Social Security. He said, do you mean to tell me that if somebody gave 10% of their income and them on Social Security, you'd accept it? I sure would.
Amen.
Oh, yes, it would.
Right.
Amen. He said, you mean to tell me? Yes, I would. Amen. I tell my kids, I'll tell you, you may think this is silly, but there's a boy in our church, a young boy, and Brother Roland Morris, a black man from my church that from Jamaica. His son got a job working at Arby's, and another boy got a job, not his brother, but another one of the young boys got a job at a fast food place too. Both of them got a job. The one, I went and told him, I said, "Now boys, you need to tithe on that." I sure did, I told him. The one said, "Well, I'll think about it." And Roland's boy said, I will. Brother, I mean, he's faithful to it. And you know what happened? Even though it's just over the summer, and even though it's just 16-year-old boys, the one boy is still working for 4 and a half. And the boy that's tithing, he went and seen a little job application, heard about it, and went up there, and they hired him making $650. Amen. And you say, "Brother Miller, that's just coincidence." He don't think it is. He can't hardly wait to pay his tithes. He thinks he's going to get a job making $10 an hour. He's excited, man. He's thrilled as he can be. He really is. He's excited about it. I do believe God will bless you. The Bible said God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. Amen. Some folks, you know, even that giving, it's like pulling their teeth. But the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. You ought to give and be happy to give. You ought to give and thank God for the opportunity. Wait a minute here. Let me go back here to my text. Bible said this in verse number 10. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord at the last, for your care of me is flourished again." You know what he said? He said, "I'm just happy. I'm rejoicing because you've done it again." Yeah, he got happy because they sent him another offer. He said, "You've done it again." And he went on in verse 10 and said, "Wherein," he said, "you would have also done it and been more careful to give in more time, but you lacked the opportunity."
Right.
Amen. He said, "You folks love to give so well. If you had the opportunity," he said, "you'd give even more."
Glory.
Whew, I'm about to shout up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go make me a cake first. You think he asked too much? You think he asked too much? Because the last bite she had has asked quite a bit. She didn't have no more.
No more.
That's it. That was it. All I can do is give you my feelings on it. I have no scripture to back it up. And you may totally disagree, and I'll not be hurt if you do. We all got a right to our opinion. I personally believe, had she disobeyed the voice of the man of God, she might have starved.
That's right.
She might have died. I don't know. I can't prove that she wouldn't. You sure can't prove she wouldn't. But I can prove this to you. Because she was obedient, she went and made that cake and came back. And when she came back and gave that to the man of God, do you know what he said? He said, "God is going to bless you for this. Hey, brother, let me tell you, for the rest of that famine, the Bible said the meal barrel never did go dry." All she had was enough to make one cake, one last dinner. But that one last dinner turned into a bounty buffet. That one last dinner turned into Orion's, amen, or whatever. I mean, brother, it never went dry. Anytime she got hungry, there was bread. The oil, the cruise of oil never did fail. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother, are you worried about how you're going to make it? I'll tell you what, next time a missionary or evangelist comes by, just put a little extra in and see if God don't bless you. I guarantee you that He will. Amen. I'll tell you this, Brother Collins. I know you might not like me saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Just walk up and say, "Pastor, I love you. He'll want to give you this. Take him to dinner. Buy him a new tie. Give him a $10, $20 bill." And I'll guarantee you God will bless you. Why? He's the man of God. Come on, folks. I can't understand why, and I can say this because I'm a pastor. You know what? You can have an evangelist come in and folks will just kill themselves to give to him. And sometimes they will never give their preacher a quarter. You know what a lot of that is? Jealousy. Come on. Don't want him to get too exalted now. Does anybody know Clarence Seeley? I love Clarence Seeley. And I really did. I love him. He's dead now. Brother Seeley, he'd just cry and tell them stories and cry, and all of a sudden he'd go, "Woo!" Kick his leg up like that. Scare you to death like I did y'all there. Amen. One day, Brother Seeley got to telling me a story. He said, yes, and one time they asked me to pastor a church down in Kentucky. And he said they what they were saying good about him was, said, well, he can't read and write. He never did go to school. Said one thing about it, said the Lord gets a hold of him, he can read the Bible. And said he's a humble man too. They was trying to think of good things to say about him. Brother Seeley said, one of the board members said, we don't care if he's humble or not. Said, once we get a hold of him, he'll get humble. We get through with him, he'll be humble. Brother Seeley said, you know, I never went. I didn't take that church. He said, I figured I was humble enough. I didn't need that. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. But this man of God, God spoke to this woman, and it was to her account. You want to build your bank account, the best way to do it is just write out checks. That's the best way. Because when you're writing them out, you're making deposits in heaven. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what you're doing. Amen. You just can't outgive God. I heard Louis J. Harrison about many years ago when he was still a holiness preacher. He got to preaching on God loves a cheerful giver, and he pulled some money out of his pocket and he walked around the church and was ha-ha-ing and laughing. He said, God loves you to be plumb hilarious. Amen. Hallelujah. Just excited about it. Thanking God for the opportunity to be able to give. I'm going to close and just, man, I'll tell you another story, though. There was an older saint of God. I'm trying to think now how long ago this has been. It's been, well, I think it's been this year, or at least late last year. And it's an older person on a fixed income. And they was talking to me and they said, you know, so I've been feeling like doing this for the church. And it wasn't a whole lot of money. Well, for most of y'all, it wouldn't be nothing. Just a small amount, less than $100. Said, but to her, it was big. And she said, I feel like doing it. She said, what do you think? I said, well, whatever you feel like doing. And she done that. And she said, I believe God's going to bless me. I said, I believe He will too. About a month later, she said, I feel like doing this again. She done it again. One of her kids said, now, I'll tell you what. I said, I don't know what in the world Mom's going to do. I don't know why her medicine costs so much and bills cost so much. And said, there she is giving that money. Said, come up to a little over $100. I don't know what in the world she's going to do. You know what happened? Not even expecting it, not thinking of it from nowhere. Electric company called up. Electric company called up and said, you know what? Said, there's something called, I'm trying to think of the name of this, some kind of capital credit. Anyhow, they called up and said, you know, when your spouse dies, said, you got a certain percentage of every electric bill you've paid for the last 40 years. If you can just get somebody to come up here and do an affidavit and a signature. She called me and said, you care to go do it for me? I said, no, I'll go up there for you. Where's that? So I went up there and I said, you got to be kidding me. Never heard tell nothing like this before. Never heard tell. They said, well, I said, you know, so I don't know how that letter got in the mail. I said, really, we don't advertise it. I said, but that is true. So ain't nothing we can do. Said, if she signs that, and said, we'll have to pay her. Said, we don't advertise. Said, I don't know how in the world she got that letter in the mail, no how. Yeah. I went and got the affidavit, signed it for her, brought it back. She'd give about $100. And you know what? She didn't have no idea it was coming to her. $1,180. I took it up, and she signed the check, and I went to the bank, cashed it, and counted it right in her hand. She said, Lord, have mercy. Lord have mercy, said the Lord told me to give just a little over $100. He's given me almost $1,180 back. You say God didn't have nothing to do with it? I believe He did. I believe He did. Amen. And nobody else even knew about it. Last night, our choir director, that redhead down at our church, and plays the piano. She got him testified and said, when my husband had the open heart surgery, she said, we know what we was going to do for money. Said, but when that week came by, she said, I paid my tithes anyway. And said, I got a, what kind of check they call that? Certified? She got a certified check, said she didn't eat. She said, I still don't know who sent it to me for $200. Amen. Man, you can't outgive God. I know it's a Wednesday night. I know it's hot outside. But I'll tell you what, why would you want to go? You know, a guy stopped me the other day, and he said, for $10, I'll give you this cassette tape. I said, what is it? He said, it will tell you how to make millions. All you got to do is listen to this. I said, I'm not interested. He said, take it home and listen to it. If you like it, send me the money. I took it home and listened to it and brought it back to him. I said, that's crazy. They're having seminars all over the country. Folks is working themselves into a frenzy trying to figure. And you know what? They're putting their money into bags with holes.
That's right.
Amen. You know what? I got a pair of breeches that I wear around to work in, and the back hip pocket. And of course, you know, man, I wear them till there's not much left to hold on. I wear them for years. And anyhow, this back pocket's got a hole in it. I never thought much about it. I stuck a comb in the water in there, and I walked into the post office. And I went in there and I started to pay for the stamp. Didn't even have money to pay for a stamp. I said, "My Lord, what have I done? What have I done?" And I realized then, I said, "Oh, goodness." I ran back outside. There was my comb and my billfold laying right by the car. When I stepped out of the car, it fell out. And that's what a lot of folks is doing. They may be making a whole lot of money, but when they put it in their pocket, it's sliding right back out. Sliding right back out. And the Bible said they're putting it in bags with holes. Oh, God, help us today. The best way there is, give, and it shall be given unto you. Heaped up, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall who give? Shall men give unto your bosom? God said He'll heap it up, and you can push it down, and then you can shake it, and it'll still run over. I'll cause people to give to your bosom. Oh, God, help me. I'm preaching too long. Just let me tell one more story. One more. Get me a song ready. That'll make me close quick. Get a song ready. Amen. When I was still living in that trailer, and me and Diane had just went on the evangelistic field, 1973. I remember the year. That was the hardest year of my life, 1973. That was a year to not remember. Amen. I had 15 blood clots that year, like died two or three times. Had a hard time that year. First year on the road. But I remember this plane well. I used to have a lot of pride. Not pride with looks or nothing, but I mean just proud person. I'd die for it, I'd tell you I need anything. I mean, and I still got a lot of that in me. But I used to be really bad. And I remember my dad lived right down the road from me. All I had to do is go down there and tell him. I got three brothers. Two of them worked for a motor company, had good jobs. All I had to do is tell them. I just wouldn't tell them. Things was bad. Really bad. And me and Diane was praying. And we didn't have no revival. We had nowhere to preach. And I'd just get up and pray and say, "God, open the door. Have somebody ask me." And I'd just pray and trust God. But I remember this so well, I won't tell you. I remember I told my wife, I said, "I feel like we ought to just get out and take a ride. It'll help our nerves." I said, I feel like going out and just driving. She said, "Okay." Brother, I hadn't told a soul. Nobody. And it's the honest truth. There wasn't nothing in that house but some crackers and some of them, this ain't the right word, but I call them Vienna sausages. There's a different word, but that's what I call them. Them little bitty wieners, that's all they are. I had about two packs of them and some crackers, and that was it. And I just got out and started driving. And we drove around about an hour later, and I could prove this by my mom and dad, because they seen the truck back up. When I got back home, there was a blue Ford pickup truck loaded down full of groceries, backed into my front door of that trailer, and somebody knocking on the door. Say, "Is anybody home?" And I pulled up, and this man told me, who went to another church, and I asked him, "Did anybody tell you?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "Nobody told me." He said, "I just knew that you were just a young preacher and thought I'd come help you." I mean to tell you, in today's terms, it had to have been $250. It was full. It was, it wasn't like heaped up, but it was, the bed level was full of food. And he said, I didn't know if this would embarrass you or not. But he said, "I just felt like giving to you." I said, "Man, look at me. Do I look like I'd be embarrassed? I'll help you unload. Just you just let me unlock a door here." Amen. I mean to tell you, it didn't matter to me if it was hominy or spinach or what it was. It was good. Amen. The Lord has never failed me. He has never let me down. Amen. And even though this message may not sound like a camp meeting message, I'll tell you this right now. If you will learn to give and put God first, I'll guarantee you God will bless you every way you turn. It's impossible not to be blessed. Amen. Praise God. You can't go to the bank and keep putting in money every week and not eventually get a pretty good sized bank account. And you can't just keep storing it up in the storehouse and giving it to the man of God and blessing the church and doing the work in the will of God. You just can't keep doing that and without God blessing you every way you turn. Amen. Amen. Brother, I'm going to tell on Brother Collins here something. Another pastor said he was going to see if it worked for him. His pastor heard about him doing it. And I'm not just trying to say this just to brag on Brother Collins, but, you know, how's he do that? And anyway, there was another pastor, a young pastor. He's pastoring his first church and ain't been there real long. And he told me, and the reason he knew, he was the recipient one year at Southern Ohio. He said, there's about two or three of us preachers standing together. So Brother Collins come up and said, here, I'm going to give you a little something to help you out. And he said, one of the other preachers said, he does that all the time. He said, so I started pastoring. I thought, I'm going to try that. He said, I can't do much, but he said, I'm going to do what I can. You know what he did? Just this summer, he said, so I thought, I'll try it and see if it works. He said, somebody told him, said, that won't work for you, because that ain't you. You ain't him. That won't work. He said, so I knew I couldn't do 20s or 50s, but I could do 5s. He said, so I took me $100 and I broke it down, got me $25 bills. He said, I went to this camp meeting, there's about 14 preachers. And he said, I said, I know it ain't much, but I feel like giving it to you. He said, I'd give that away. I felt real good about it. He said, I went home. I expected something to be there. Wasn't nothing there. He said, I went to the next camp meeting. So I thought, I'll do it again. He said, I'd do it again. I said, Lord, he'll be right here. He said, wasn't nothing there. He said, but the third time he done it. He said, I done it the third time. He said, I went back home. So I said, well, it don't matter. If nothing comes, then I got a blessing just by giving it. And he said, but don't you know what I just said? I wasn't looking for it no more. He said, it's unbelievable, brother. He said, somebody come to the house and give me $500 out of clear blue sky. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, folks. It works. Don't take my word. Try and see. Amen. Praise God. I ain't going to apologize to you tonight. I want to live between them two promises. Don't quote me the scripture. I can do all things through Christ. Because you can't. Not if you ain't doing the rest of that. Don't quote to me. Don't come to me and say, brother, my God's going to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Because He ain't going to unless you do the rest of this. Amen. But if you get right in the middle of them two promises, then you can stand up, brother, and say, I ain't worried about it. I know the bills ain't paid, and I know I've got problems. My God's going to supply. He has to, because He said He would. And God's not a liar. He cannot lie. And when you do that, God has to bless you. Stand with me, if you will. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's gather around these altars tonight and pray and ask the Lord. Amen. And see if God won't bless you greater than He ever has. Everyone that will. While they sing, let's gather in and pray. Praise God.